Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickman.
Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me today. I truly appreciate it. It's a great Saturday, and I do appreciate you taking your time to listen to my show. I wanted to start. You know, my son just got married, and weddings just kind of are difficult for me because I don't really understand the cost of a wedding and the cost of all the things that go along with it. It's one day, and I know my wife will not like me saying this, but I don't really get it. I just don't. I mean, We didn't spend a ton of money on our wedding. We didn't have any money at the time, so we didn't spend a ton of money on our wedding. And it just amazes me the amount of money that can be spent on a wedding. And they're beautiful and they're wonderful, and it's awesome. But I just don't get it. And my son got married in Chicago, so I can say this because they aren't going to hear. They probably won't hear me, but I don't get it. It's just something I don't understand. Probably never will, but. I know it's important, and I know it matters to people, but to me, I'm not saying the marriage isn't important. I'm just saying the cost of a wedding and all that we do. It's amazing what you pay for, even what I paid for in Chicago, the cost of doing the rehearsal dinner and all of that. It's just amazing how much that runs. I can't imagine what it would cost for the actual wedding. I've been very fortunate. This is my second son to get married, and I have three sons. I don't have any daughters, and fortunately nobody's asked me to help pay for the wedding because if it did, I don't know what I'd do, because if I was going to pay for the wedding, I'd want some control, and I'm sure there'd be big problems because I just don't understand the amount of money spent. But anyway, this is a real estate show and probably doesn't have any business talking about somebody getting married, but it's just one of those things that's on my mind, along with the fact that, you know, we're getting into Thanksgiving, what is next week? Then we've got a few, 4 weeks till Christmas, and it's still the market is still hot for real estate. It's amazing how it has stayed and how it's stayed so strong, with you know, all that's gone on. We've still got some issues with inflation. We have to continue to watch that. You know, rates have popped up a little bit. We're still not, you know, we're still phenomenal rates. You know, if you compare over history, the problem I find that we tend to do as humans is we tend to want to compare everything to the recent events and not so much for long-term events. So the recent events are rates were very low. Currently, rates are still extremely low. Long-term, when you look at the average rate over the last 20 years is like 8%, a little over 8%. So we're still way underneath those numbers. But we happen to be just a tad higher than we were, you know, 6, 8, 10 months ago. But we're still in record low territory. So it still makes a tremendous amount of sense to look at refinancing, especially if you haven't done it in a while. I talked to one of the shows about a customer who, you know, and he's not the only one. I've had several people who've called me, and they're in the mid-4s times. I even had one that was over 6% and hadn't refinanced. It's just one of those things. I understand it. You just put it off, you know, just like, you know, maintenance on your car, maybe replacing your furnace filter, which, you know, I tend to struggle with sometimes. But it's one of those things that can be very beneficial, and it can be worth the pain. And I know it can be a pain. I'm not saying that financing a home, going through the mortgage process, can't be a pain. It can be. I understand it can be. But we make it as easy as we can. We still have to follow the rules. And for some people, it's actually very, very, very easy. There's something today when we do a an application, we run credit. Let's say we're refinancing the home. And this happens on a purchase too, but let's say we're refinancing. We put in a value that we think the house is valued at. We put in a loan amount. We run the credit. And we run what's called automated underwriting. And it kicks out what we're going to need, including whether we need an appraisal or not. So about 50, 55% of the loans that we're doing on straight refinances, not cash out, you know, not 95%, but you know, most people have a lot more equity today. We're getting the appraisal waivers. Sometimes we even get them on a purchase. So you get an appraisal waiver, not only do you not have to pay for the appraisal, we know that we're okay. One problem with an appraisal waiver, if something changes, it could require an appraisal late in the game. Doesn't happen very often, but it can happen. And it's all computer generated, and it's all based on the conventional lenders, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. FHA doesn't offer that unless you're doing a streamlined FHA. VA doesn't offer it. But on most of what we do, conventional financing, you have that might be an option. They have to say, here you have the option of an appraisal waiver, and then you as the borrower can say yes, you want that, or no, you don't, and you either get the appraisal or you don't. If you don't want it. If you don't get an appraisal, you don't have to pay for it. And it can make it a lot smoother. And of course, if you get it on a purchase, people love it. But that's how it goes. It also tells us everything that we need. And a lot of the information today, we can get, you know, depending on where you work, we can get your employment information. And we can get your, if you fill out the information and allow it, we can get your asset information. So there's very little that we may have to get from you. Now, it's one of the reasons that sometimes with self-employed, they get a little annoyed because none of that, we don't have that same ability. We can't verify your job electronically, so we have to get tax returns and all that to verify it. And we can get the assets if it allows us, if that's one of the things that it allows us to do. But there's more things that we have to do. So just know if you're self-employed, it's going to be a little bit more of a pain. So it might need, you know, quite honestly, it's return on investment. You know, is it worth it based on what you're saving? And with the rates the way they are, if your rate's high, it may make a ton of sense to look at refinancing self-employed or if not self-employed. It's a lot easier, again, if you're not self-employed, so it may not take as big a drop in the rate to make it make sense. I also, I wanted to talk about because today's market, I wanted to give 10 tips for finding the perfect home. Now, everybody's different, but these tips are from real estate agents who have worked with hundreds and probably thousands of borrowers or buyers for their home, for homes. And I've talked to them and I've tried to come up with those things that they tell me are huge. There may be more. I'm sure there's more than just 10, but these hopefully will help you. I think they're very good to consider. First, and number 10 is don't put your expectations too high. Realize that most homes aren't perfect to begin with. They just aren't. So when you go into home, even if you're building your dream home, I spent 11 years with a new home builder. People would build their home and they would walk through, they would see the model, they would try to do everything. But inevitably, when you moved into the house and were living there, it wasn't perfect. Everything wasn't exact. It happened in million-dollar homes. And at that time, million-dollar home was an expensive home. Today, it's not necessarily that big, but back then that was an expensive home. And so it can even happen in high-end homes that you just don't get everything that you want. You may not think of everything that you want, or it just doesn't come off like you were hoping. Just know that, so don't set your expectations too high, because you want them reasonable so they can be met. I can tell you that, you know, when you're building a home, you just, as it's going through the process, you tend to think of things through, because you have so much time, that you might want, you might not want, and you want to add. You have to really, if you're doing that, working with a builder, make sure that they allow changes after you've made your final selection. Many builders won't. Now, a true custom builder, they will, but it costs you a lot more money. And just know that on a building, that's the way it is. Now, when you're looking at an existing home, you know, it's number 10. Don't put your expectations too high. No home is perfect, But you, when you're looking at a home, make sure that the basics are there. So you, what I always call the hierarchy of needs, put down, write down what you want, the things, you know, everything that you want, and then align them to the things that you absolutely have to have, to those things that you would like. And it's not just the house, it's the neighborhood, it's the area, it's all of those things. And you line them up. It will help you as you're looking at homes. Now, I also tell you that once you find a home, you're walking through homes, you may, those hierarchy of needs, those things may change. You may go, you know what, now that I think about it, I'd rather be in this school system and without having a basement than that school system with a basement. So this is, you know, you have to look at it and know that it's fluid. And that's what we mean by don't set your expectations too high. Have some ability to be flexible there. After the break, we're going to go through more of the 10 tips for finding the perfect home.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it very much. I appreciate you joining me on this Saturday. And, you know, we're going over the 10 tips for finding the perfect home. And as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, over the break, I was thinking, you know what, it is the 10 tips for finding the perfect home. But you could also say maybe this is the 10 tips for making the perfect home. If you already have a home, it doesn't mean that a lot of these things you couldn't make happen, with a little work. So actually, last week we did a show on the return on investment on remodeling and, you know, your rehab. And that's kind of, this is finding the home, but you might be able, if you hadn't looked, you know, listen to that show, it's kind of goes right along with this. But this is the 10 tips for finding the perfect home. And tip number 9 is leave room to grow. So make sure your perfect home has enough storage and gives you room to grow. You know, let's talk about the storage. It's probably one of the most important things I have found, at least for us, to in our home. I have increased the storage in our master. We had two master closets. I've increased the storage in both of the master closets. I added a closet in our main level, a big closet. I added a pantry in our main level. I'm probably pretty soon going to add another closet in the main level because we have some areas that it's like a perfect spot to add it, and it's easy to add, adds a lot of storage space, and it really doesn't hurt the house. It doesn't take anything away. But storage, I find, is really important, especially in a house like I don't have a basement, so I have no place to store. I have friends who have basements, and I mean, they end up packed, so I'm really not, I don't want too much storage because I don't want what I tend to do is store a bunch of stuff that I eventually don't want. I used to rent a storage space. I even hate to admit it. I'd pay $100, $110 a month for storage space. And after a few years, I realized I was paying more to store the stuff than if I just gave it away and bought it when I needed it again. And most likely I wasn't ever going to need it again because it just sat there for 3 years in storage space. So it is nice to have in your house. You do want storage space. And I'm kind of contradicting myself, but I don't think you can ever have enough storage space, but it's also nice to get rid of things. But not just storage space, but room to grow. You know, if you're a growing family, like my family's, you know, my kids are all moved out, it's changed. But when we were first moved in the house, we bought a house and it was a 4-bedroom home. We didn't need all 4 bedrooms, but we grew into 4 bedrooms. We grew into needing 4 bedrooms. And that's what we're talking about. Make sure that you leave room to grow. Maybe you need room in the outside too. Maybe it's, you know, you need area. Like for me, it's a large two-car garage, but I need more garage space than that. So I needed room to add garage space. I needed room to add an additional garage so that I would have space. I love cars. And so it's important to me. So that's, you know, make sure that when you're looking at, you look not just at what you need today, but that you leave room to grow, that you look at what it's going to be like down the road and make sure that the home is going to meet those needs down the road. I think you need to also think about how long you're going to be in the home. That makes a difference. It makes a difference on how you finance the home, and it should make a difference on what home you buy. Some people turn homes, they turn them every 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years. Some people, like myself, I've been in my home over 30 years. You know, you just have to decide how you're going to do it. I'm not saying I've done it the right way. And a lot of ways, I think I did it the wrong way. I think turning homes, I could have, you know, made more money, but I don't like moving. So I stayed in the same home and I like where I'm at. Number 8 to the 10 tips for finding the perfect home is picture your family living in the home. So when you walk into the home, can you picture your family living there? Does it have a good feeling? Picture your family living in each room and see how that feels. It's really important that you do that. It really helps as you look at that, because believe it or not, as you're looking at it and picturing yourself living there, not only does it help you understand the positives of the home, but it also will bring up some of the negatives of the home. No home is perfect. There's going to be things that you wish weren't that way. But if you see it and then before you buy it, you might be able to come up with ways later to fix that issue, or it might eliminate a home that you were at that point glad that you didn't purchase because it didn't meet the needs that you had. So picturing your family living in the home and in each room, in the yard, in the outside, it that can make a big difference and that can really help you. So I highly recommend that. It's picture your family living in the house. Really a good idea. Number 7, do a home inspection. The home inspector will look at everything in the home and give you a non-biased opinion. They will also tell you the true value of the home you're looking at. That's an appraisal, not necessarily a home inspection. I kind of put those together, but an appraisal will give you the value of the house. The inspection is an inspection of the quality and making sure everything is done correctly. It's better to spend, you know, a few hundred dollars, probably $400 to $500 for an inspection than finding out that you had problems in the house. I've had people where they had problems, you know, where there was mold in the house they didn't know about. And some of these houses, when I originally talked to them, they said, this house, I don't even know if I need an inspection. This house is beautiful. Well, it's different on the what you can see to what you can't see. An inspector sees what you can't see, and that's what you want. You need the inspection, and you need that inspection. The appraisal can be valuable if you're worried that you're overpaying for the property. And it's a requirement unless it gets waived anyway by Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae. So it's a requirement. But if it gets waived in this market with things booming, it's probably the best thing to do is accept that appraisal waiver, because if you know you don't want any issues and you want to just close on the house because the seller has other people waiting in line to buy the house. But a home inspection is critical. And it's one of those things, it's amazing what an inspector does. They check everything. They check your outlets. They check, you know, in my house, they go in, they went in the crawl, they went in the attic. And not only do they do that, I can do that too. I don't want to, but I could do that, but I don't know what I'm looking at. They know what they're looking at. The inspectors that I know are unbelievably good and expert at the entire building. They understand it. And you know, it's amazing, after living in a home for as long as I have, it is amazing just the little things that matter. Just a little, it's in a show back, we were talking about caulking the house to make it, you know, more winterize it. But, you know, water intrusion is one of the biggest problems you can have in a house. At least it's one of the biggest problems I've had. And it is something that is critical because it can do so much damage to your house. It damages your foundation. It damages the wood. It damages, you know, your drywall. It doesn't just damage what you can see. And a lot of times you can't see it till it's, you know, already a problem. So you want to make sure that appraiser or that inspector looks at the roof and he knows that the roof is okay. And if you need a new roof, you want to know that. You want to know going in if that's so. Make sure that you have a home inspection. If you can't tell, I think that's a really, really important thing to do. Number 6, do your research. Research property values in the area. Stalk your neighborhood and find out what it's like at all times. So if you know you want to go there morning, noon, and night. Is it family friendly neighborhood? You could even knock on the neighbor's doors before buying. you know, I've done that. And let me, the knocking on the doors can be somewhat intimidating to people. But one thing I have learned is that when you're looking at buying in a neighborhood, the neighbors definitely want to meet you. And by meeting them, you can find out a lot. You can find out a lot of positives and negatives of the neighborhood. And they may even tell you things about the house you didn't know. Like the house that we live next to, it's had lots of issues. We've lived there a long time. It's had a lot of owners, and we've seen a lot of things happen to that house. If somebody stopped by and talked to us, we could let them know that if they asked. But you don't intentionally do it, but it just kind of, you know, we try to be helpful to people, so sometimes it slips out. But it is one of those things that is very, very helpful. It also helps to go, you know, not only go, you know, in the evening after work, but go in the morning, on the weekend, see what it's like, see what the traffic is like, see what, if there's kids out playing, you want to see what's going on in the neighborhood. It's extremely important to do that. It's a little harder right now in this time to do that. Once you find a house, because you have to make an offer so fast. So when you're thinking about doing it, go look at the neighborhoods you're most interested in, so you have a good idea. But it's still, if you're going to make an offer on a house, once you make the offer, they're going to take them a little bit to come up with an acceptable, you know, accept it or renegotiate. You can go and talk to some neighbors and make sure you understand the neighborhood and you want a good feel of the neighborhood. Now, there is a saying in the industry, it's location, 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 and location is extremely important. Check the surrounding areas of the homes. Drive around the 2 mile radius to see what is around your home. Make sure it is an area you feel comfortable with. Find out what school district you're in and your kids will be going to. Even if you don't have kids, you want to think about the school district that you live in, because it's one of the biggest things for resale. So you want to make sure that you know the school district. You may also want to take the commute to work, and maybe even to school, to see how long that takes. This is important. I will tell you, when I purchased and I have a Zionsville address, but I'm actually in Carmel, but I didn't know I was in Carmel. I thought I was in Zionsville. I'm very close to Zionsville. I thought my kids were going to go to Zionsville schools. And it was a rude awakening when I found out I was not in Carmel, I was not in Zionsville. I was in Carmel. And the real problem was, at that point, all the schools were on the other side of town. They were all on the east side, not on the west side. All the sports activities were on the east side, not on the west side. So everything was tough. You try to take your kids to do the things in Zionsville, and none of the kids that they go to school with are there. So you stop that very quickly and end up driving every Saturday morning or when they have practice. So don't do what I did. Go check it out. Make sure that you're getting in the right area. You know what you're getting, and you know the area that you're getting in, and it's what you were expecting. And also, in the driving at the schools, why I said, you know, go to the school, because at the time and still today, we are miles and miles and miles away from Carmel High School, and it's a long way, and it's a long way for the kids to ride on the bus. It's a long way if you have to go into the school, and so. It is a great thing to consider before you do that. Make sure that you know what you're getting into. Number four, think about remodeling. Many homes you may look at may not be in the best condition, but think about the potential of the house. Wood painting and a new wood floors turn it into your dream home. You know, sometimes it's just minor things that you need to do to make it what you want it to be. How about a kitchen or bath remodel? There are many easy fix-ups, such as adding new lighting fixtures and painting, that can turn your house into the perfect home. And that is something that is important, especially when you're looking at a home, especially when, you know, if you're looking at a home and let's say you find a house and you really like the house, but you wouldn't want the kitchen the way it is, and you want to redo the kitchen. You don't have to buy the house and then wait to do the kitchen until you save the money. We have rehab loans. You can do a rehab loan right away. You can actually, when you buy the home, we can do a rehab loan, and you can have the kitchen remodel in there. So when you buy the home, let's say you're living in an apartment, you buy the home, they remodel your kitchen, then you move in. You can do that. That is something that can be done. It's just the type of a loan. So it's one of those things, if you're looking at doing that, if you find a house that you want to do that in, that is something that can be done. it's why we need to talk. If you're looking to buy a home or even remodel or even refinance, we need to talk because we need to go over all of the options. There's so many things out there that you may not be aware of. I get people all the time say, you know, I never thought of that. I didn't know that. I had somebody who was having trouble qualifying for a house. What did, you know? So I came up with a creative way. We paid off some minor bills that increased my debt, their debt to income, so they could afford the house without selling their current house. Very easy thing to do, but most people don't think of that. So these are important things to do. So go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And then take get my information. You can call me. My phone number's there. You can call, text. You can go on. You can off the website. You can contact me. You can email me. Everything's there to contact me. Let us talk about it. Or if you know of anybody else, anybody who needs that, let me know. We want to talk about it. We want to walk through it. We want to make sure that you know your options and that you are able to pick the best option for you. So number four was think about remodeling. Number three, bigger isn't always better. While we all dream of having a huge mansion, or most people do, it's good to think about what will be best for your family. Figure out how many rooms you need to fit your family comfortably and look in that range. But, you know, I want to go in this a little more because when I was in new home sales, I know you're probably sick of hearing me, but there was a builder who their motto was more square foot, less money. And you could get a huge home with this builder and it was less money. But if the only way to do that is to cut corners, the only way to do that is to not do certain things that should be done or do it as least expensive as you can. So you just want to make sure if you find a house that seems has a ton of square footage for the price, you want to make sure that home is in the right area, a good area, is built well, there's no issues. You definitely want to make sure that you're not making a mistake. And that builder ended up going out of business. But they were huge at one time and they did. And what their motto, what they said was correct. You did get more square foot for less money. But it's not always what it seems. So you have to be very careful. There was another builder, and this is a little off of this, but there was another builder who would guarantee they would close on time. So, or they would give you your house for free, or they'd give you some type of discount or something. I can't remember what it was. But what do you think would happen if it came between getting the house closed or getting the house done correctly and taking more time? What do you think they had to choose? They had to choose getting the house done. These are the kind of things and the reason I wanted to bring that up is because when you think of things, look at all sides. Try to come up with, okay, why would they do this? Because it isn't always what you think. Some things sound good, but they actually aren't. So we really want to make sure that you're looking at everything. But bigger isn't always better. That's absolutely true. Purchase a home that stays in the budget. That's critical. I'm a mortgage guy. We can help you with that. And that is critical. We want to qualify you to the highest price, but you want to stay in the dollar amount you want to be in as long as it isn't over what you qualify for. Critical that you do that. And figure out what your perfect home looks like. Write down on a piece of paper all the things that you must have in a new home, things that would be nice to have and things that don't really matter. Write it out and then put it in the number one, number two, number three. And so you have an idea when you're looking at a home. Those things may change. I'm not saying they can't move. They may change, but it's nice to have something like that. So you have it written down. You know what you're looking at. You feel good about it, and it really will help you find the right home. That's the thing, finding the perfect home for you. I thank you so much for joining me today. I truly appreciate it. Please go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com to contact me. If you want to look at refinancing, purchasing a home, pre-qualifying, you want to look at renovation loans, please go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. All my contact information is there. You can text me, you can call me, you can email me. You can fill out the information right online, tell me what you're looking for, and I will get back with you. Again, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a great Saturday.